This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
A major announcement came in October of 2022 that could impact the future of marijuana in America. President Joe Biden announced that he would be pardoning thousands of people who have received federal charges for simple marijuana possession. What does this mean for the future of marijuana possession in America, and specifically in North Carolina? We're asking an attorney.
If marijuana is no longer illegal, it would eliminate a lot of these searches that officers are doing.
This is WBTV's Good Question. We are joined now by Aaron Lee, criminal defense attorney here in the Charlotte area. Aaron, thank you for being here.
I appreciate you having me.
I know we've known each other for a little while now, but for the viewers and listeners, tell them first how you got into being a defense attorney and how long you've been doing it and what you do day to day.
Sure. Well, I'm kind of fell into it. Got an internship with George Beall, so I started there. I enjoyed it a lot. Been doing it about 10 years. Board certified specialist in criminal law, so I like to think I put a lot of work and time into it to hone my craft. So my day-to-day is mostly high-level felony work and homicide defense.
Gotcha. And a lot of that trial, a lot of that background work, or is it just kind of each day is an adventure?
Each day is different. You never know what a defendant will do, whether he wants a plea or a trial, and they're in the driver's seat.
Gotcha. I know you usually are involved in serious crimes. How many cases do you have that involve marijuana in some form or fashion?
Well, Mecklenburg County isn't prosecuting basic marijuana charges. So since COVID, nobody really has very many marijuana charges unless it's trafficking, which would be over 10 pounds. So we have several of those. But since COVID, there's really none pending because they're dismissed usually by the first court date. The vast majority of marijuana is.
Full disclosure, we're recording this in October of 2022. We just heard President Joe Biden make the big announcement that he was going to be pardoning thousands of people, anyone who had a federal charge for simple possession of marijuana. As an attorney, what did you think when you heard that announcement?
I think it's a good soundbite for an election, but I don't know who's going to benefit from a federal charge of simple marijuana possession.
And that was one of the questions I had for you, too. When would somebody get a federal charge for simple marijuana possession?
The only thing I could think of is you tried to walk in a federal courthouse with a small amount of marijuana, or maybe you're on the Blue Ridge Parkway, but very, very limited places that have federal jurisdiction.
Do you think that this was more of a symbolic move or a political move trying to push forward the notion that marijuana should be decriminalized?
I would suspect. I mean, it sends a move. It sends the move to all the states and all the governors that if the federal government doesn't care about this, you should probably coordinate and do the same with your states.
I think we even saw the White House and the president encouraging the individual states to make that move toward decriminalizing marijuana. What would have to happen in each state for marijuana to be decriminalized, for simple possession to be something that's not a charge anymore?
I mean, we see it already. Most of them go up to the voters. They'll put it on the ballot to see whether they allow for medicinal use, decriminalized in some shape or fashion. We see most states are going that route to have, whether it's a medical card, some shape or form of legalization for people to have simple use.
Absolutely. We've seen Josh Stein, our attorney general, the governor, Roy Cooper, saying that they are going to try to work with lawmakers in North Carolina to make that the case here in North Carolina. Do you think it's an uphill battle in this particular state?
Yes. I mean, we worked with Normal before, an organization that's trying to legalize marijuana. And I mean, I think most judges are on board with that coming that way as well. It's just a matter of time. But I do think it'll be one of the last states to agree to have it legalized in some shape or form.
Gotcha. What are the arguments pro and con when it comes to decriminalizing marijuana?
Sure. We've seen a lot of clients who are charged with marijuana possession, and most general people, I think, have the notion that every person who smokes marijuana is probably some sort of either on one end of the spectrum a druggie or a burnout or, you know, some derogatory term that they don't have very much control. But what we usually saw was most of our clients were not teenagers, but were professionals or working class, blue collar, who had got injured on the job and were prescribed some sort of opioids and didn't like the way they felt, the addictive nature, or their opioid prescription ran out. And do they resort to heroin or do they resort to some form of marijuana? And at least with marijuana, I think the risks are a no-brainer to them, to their family, and to the danger involved with it. So it kind of shapes it in a different light when you see these everyday people who don't want to feel pain and want to still be able to work and provide for their family, and but they can't afford the prescription, their prescription ran out, their doctor thinks they're trying to sell them, you know, all these issues. So it's a cheap, affordable solution that is for legitimate pain management. So it kind of shaped my perspective of these people and who my clients are. So they're not all 18 to 22-year-old college kids just getting high in their dorm rooms or getting high in their parents' basement. So that issue, yes, I can see that being a negative connotation towards marijuana use because maybe it promotes laziness, but that's not every user. So I think the pros for it really are that it is a decent pain and management system. Now, the problems with that is, would you need a prescription for it then? Probably so, if you want it for that use. And then the negatives are heavy. You have everything from being called a gateway drug. Obviously, everyone's familiar with that term. And then, of course, for younger kids, when if it's more recreational use, then the studies do show it can result in more and just try something stronger, you know, a new high, a bigger buzz, a bigger kick, whatever have you. And then do these kids lace it with things? You have synthetic marijuana, which is a hodgepodge of sprays and chemicals on it. But, yeah, if you had some sort of regulation, which is always the argument for it, at least I think you could help the pros and the cons if it's regulated like any sort of prescription drug that's a controlled substance.
I know you are not a lawmaker, but how difficult would it be to get marijuana regulated and what kind of time would that take? It seems like that'd be a long, drawn-out process.
Yeah, like, I mean, as we see in trying to pass any bill, it's who's in charge at that time? Is it Republican? Is it Democrat? I mean, the paperwork, they could probably just copy from most any other state that's done this. And I'm sure there's plenty of organizations who have paperwork ready to go. But if you don't have the right people in charge to make it happen, then it's a pointless effort to try to make.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know we had also talked about how sometimes with law enforcement, the simple marijuana possession charge, that can lead to other criminal charges, correct?
It does, and that's usually how it works, is the marijuana is their foot in the door, because the law allows when a police officer smells marijuana or the odor of marijuana, it gives them probable cause to search their car. So once a person smokes in their car, really once that odor stuck there, you've given police officers carte blanche to search your car forever. And that's what police officers love, because you can't refute that you smelled it, because we can't go back in time and smell a car. So if he says, I smelled marijuana, he's going to search a car, hopefully see if there's warrants, if there's guns, if there's further drugs, contraband, any stolen items. So it's a treasure trove once they smell marijuana.
Would that go away if marijuana was decriminalized, say, in North Carolina, for instance? Would police officers no longer be able to say, well, I'm going to search your car now because I smell the odor of marijuana?
Yes, if marijuana is no longer illegal. You could potentially have the issue if it's legalized with a medical card. You'd probably have to provide proof of your medical card. And if you didn't have that, that would probably then provide probable cause still, but it would eliminate a lot of these searches that officers are doing based on just an odor of marijuana.
Speaking in terms of the justice system in particular, let's start at the federal level. What would happen, or what's going to happen to these folks who have these simple possession federal charges that are going to be pardoned? What does that do for them?
Probably not much. Depends on if it's misdemeanor or felony. I mean,
sure.
Felony charges, if they're pardoned, to be able to have their record clean from being a convicted felon would be huge. But if they're just saying simple possession, and you're going to have to clarify to what exactly those specific charges are, if they're misdemeanor, if they're felonies, presumably felonies if they're in federal court. And that could help quite a bit of convicted felons to have their records cleared for employment purposes, voting purposes, cue election, but those things like that would certainly help a lot of people.
At the state level, what would that mean for the justice system and, you know, courts around the state of North Carolina if marijuana was eventually to be decriminalized?
Well, I don't think it's a whole lot of change for at least Mecklenburg County,
because sure.
I think since they haven't prosecuted it, most officers don't really care about it, at least what I've seen. They're going to throw it away. But they know even if they write them a ticket, it's going to be dismissed the next day. So I don't think there's a whole lot of change in the big cities, the smaller surrounding counties. I think it'll be a big difference, a big change to them. And they'll just have to shift their resources to either different sorts of crimes or resources to something more important in the community, the marijuana use.
Gosh, that's so, so interesting. Where do you see this going in North Carolina, for example? We obviously saw the president's announcement, and then immediately we hear the attorney general and the governor come out and say, yeah, we agree with him, which, you know, they're all of the same political party, so probably not too much of a surprise.
Right.
What do you think we see happen next here?
I think that people would want to see Cooper issue pardons for at least misdemeanor marijuana charges. At least that way they could, depending on what sort of pardon he does, it could at least allow them to clear their record, get it eligible for an expungement, which would be nice for them. They're still going to have to probably pay for that and wait for that. But it would help, I think, the everyday person who has that conviction, especially if that's their only conviction, to kind of get that off the record and move forward in their life. So I suspect it will probably happen at some point. At least if Cooper stays in long enough or if he's reelected, I would suspect that would probably come down, especially if it gets approved and Biden does it. I suspect most Democratic governors would do the same.
Gotcha. That might be a struggle, though, to get that through the General Assembly, right?
Well, he has the authority to issue a pardon, period.
Wow.
So he can do a mass pardon. The state constitution allows the governor to issue pardons for criminal convictions, everything except there's limited exceptions,
sure.
But he can. He can do it on his own accord, so he doesn't need anyone's approval, just like we always see presidents do before they leave office. They do a mass pardon. So he can do it on his own.
You probably know better than most, how can a marijuana conviction impact people? You know, if it's, you talk about blue-collar worker or somebody who isn't, you know, that 18 to 22-year-old but has a marijuana charge on their record, how does that impact them going forward?
Sure. Depends on the county that they're in, of course, but let's say an average surrounding county, Cabarrus, Iredell, Union, the average marijuana user would be hit with court costs and fines, so $250-ish. They're going to be, typically, they would be pre-COVID, they'd be placed on 12 months of probation, so you have to pay probation fees, you know, every month. You have to meet with your probation officer every month. Your home is subject to warrantless searches, so you have to pay for all these things. You have subject to drug tests from your probation officer. You have to pay for community service, and you have to do usually 12 to 24 hours of community service. You have to pay for an attorney. So it's a lot of cost and a lot of people making money off of this, at least in the court system. It's a cash cow. But for the everyday person, it is a pricey endeavor just for a little bit of marijuana.
I'm about to say, are we talking like a simple possession charge there?
Yes. Even if you had a simple low-level misdemeanor, yes. There's different options available for individuals who can take advantage of programs the state offers, but part of those programs are probation, community service, drug treatment, which all cost money. So a little bit of marijuana could cost a person, you know, $1,500, $2,000 by the time it's all said and done, just in paying the court all their dues and their time involved and time off of work to go do your community service. So it is a lot.
And I was about to say, how does this impact your work life as well? I mean, I'm sure some jobs, you know, are hampered by that.
Oh, of course. I mean, anybody who has any sort of professional licensing is going to be hurt. If their employer suspects drug use, if they handle any sort of heavy machinery, automobiles, Uber, I mean, a lot of people doing that now. All impacted by a criminal record, which shows lack of judgment, impairment. So no one wants you on the road, because if you're going to be doing this then, you could hurt other people. So it's a very negative impact on a person's record. Depends on what they do. If they're a college student, not so much, but of course, marijuana charges and drug charges can impact a person's ability to get federal aid. So that's a whole other negative consequence to young people. They don't understand the negatives of trying to get into college and that being impacted severely.
And just to make sure I'm following this, if marijuana was decriminalized, we're talking about everything that you kind of just named there going away, right?
Gone. So all those court personnel, probation officers, community service department, all raking in this money by, you know, marijuana would be gone. So they would have to focus their services to something else.
Very, very interesting stuff. Aaron, anything else you'd like to add on this topic?
No, I mean, it's a heavily debated issue, the pros and cons. It gets to be a political issue heavily. But, you know, from our experience, at least people who aren't minors, I mean, most of these people aren't doing this just to get high. I mean, it really is, for at least what we see, more of pain management. And I think for people who are against it, to see these people in pain and suffering from pain and want just some pain relief, you know, should put things in a different light to people. So at least to people to be open-minded to hear the other side's point of view and to see the people who are really requesting these changes in the laws just aren't people who just want to get high. So that would be the only thing I'd add to the conversation.
Yeah. And like you mentioned just before, I guess the con then and the argument against that is people say, well, it is a gateway drug, right?
Oh,
and people say,
for
you
know, sure.
To open us up to, you know, people getting addicted to more than just marijuana.
Very true. If people have addictive personalities, this is the way they try, but just like any prescription drug, you got to be careful with it. I mean, Adderall, I mean, we see nearly anything that young people can get, can abuse, just requires oversight and some sort of parental supervision, like anything dangerous you'd have in your house.
Fascinating. Aaron Lee, criminal defense attorney here in the Charlotte area. We appreciate you coming by and talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media.
From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios in Uptown Charlotte.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.